Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Our kids are being targeted on many different sides, many different fronts, books and libraries, curriculum in schools, drag queen story hours, television programming, human traffickers lurking online, and much more. Can parents be prepared to protect their children? Can they trust the titles of books or the publishing company's recommendations? Many of these publishing companies they could previously trust, can they trust them now in today's world? Are there steps that parents can take to protect their children? My guest today is Laurie Higgins. She's the Illinois Family Institute's cultural affairs writer. Thanks, Laurie, for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Diane.
So recently you wrote an article entitled Ideologically Grooming Kids Through Storytelling. Why did you feel compelled to write this article?
Well, I came across two books. One written both by the same author, who's a homosexual man. He's in a fake marriage to another man who happens to be a third grade teacher. And one of these books is intended for children 10 and up, and one is for children 14 and up, both of them advocating inappropriate sexual behavior. One in particular, the one for 14 and up, is incredibly graphic, and people can actually read the whole book free online if they want to. I spent a day reading most of it. It was a dispiriting day. But the first one I came across is titled Middle School's a Drag, You Better Work Harder. And that's work is spelled W-E-R-K. That's important because it's an allusion to twerking. I'm guessing if your readers have children, they know what twerking is, but the dictionary definition of twerking is sexually suggestive dancing characterized by rapid, repeated hip thrusts and shaking of the buttocks, especially while squatting. And the reason that's in the title is that this book is about a boy who starts a junior talent agency and signs a 13-year-old aspiring drag queen as his first client. Both of the boys, the younger boy who owns the talent agency and the 13-year-old, are both homosexual also. Mm. So my point in titling this Ideologically Grooming Kids Through Storytelling is to say literature is and has been for many years now is being used to transform the hearts and minds of our nation's children, to make them accept certain beliefs about homosexuality and the trans ideology that are not factual. They are beliefs, faith-based beliefs held by progressives, and they're using literature to transform the way kids think and feel about these ideologies. And we underestimate the power of storytelling to have these effects on people, on adults also. But even more so on children who are younger and more vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Hollywood gets it. They understand the power of storytelling. And sometimes I wonder if conservatives underestimate that power.
I think they do. I mean, you know, I just read recently that Disney is doing a remake or another season of DuckTales. And in this upcoming season, they will be two open homosexual dads. It was kind of in the background there, but there's going to be very up in front in the center that these two ducks' dads are homosexuals. So yeah, we can't trust Disney. We haven't been able to trust Disney for years, decades. But as you're saying, I mean, it's gone beyond Heather Has Two Mommies.
Right.
It's gone beyond, King and King, I think that's what it was, to where they are not just telling stories that have homosexual characters, but they're going into more graphic sexual details or information that kids should not be exposed to. You're talking about 10-year-olds and 14-year-olds?
The first book that we just talked about, Middle School's a Drag, You Better Work Harder, The publishers describe it as a hilarious, heartfelt story full of laughs, sass, and hijinks about a 13-year-old homosexual drag queen and the boy who has the talent agency. So this is what they think is not only appropriate, but delightful for children. To make it even worse, David Heyman, who's the producer of all the Harry Potter films and Quentin Tarantino's recent film, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, that starred Brad Pitt, He is adapting this book, Middle School's a Drag, You Better Work Harder, for television. So they clearly want to use this stuff to advance their own personal ideology. And Christian parents need to understand, you cannot undo what kids are exposed to relentlessly if they're in public schools. It's starting, at least here in Illinois and in some other states, it starts in kindergarten, Introducing them to the whole gender ideology to make them, because they present assumptions in early elementary school with no challenges to that. There's no one there to say, wait a minute, does that idea make sense? Is that factual? Mm-hmm. Is that good? Is that right? They present it as if this is a settled idea.
Right.
It tantamount to fact.
Yeah, I was just going to throw in there, too many of the so-called medical associations around the country have bought into those lies, so it makes it appear authentic that a boy can identify as a girl and vice versa, or that someone can be born, quote-unquote, born gay, because these medical associations, almost all of them, have bought into the lie. They've been taken over by homosexual activists, LGBT activists.
Oh, absolutely. I wrote an article about the American Academy of Pediatrics. I've written two of them now, because when they first came out with their pro-trans protocol, how to treat children with gender dysphoria through social transitioning and puberty blocking and cross-sex hormones. And I was curious, because you would read articles at the time, the over 60,000 member of the AAP endorses this. And I thought, that seemed implausible to me. Mm. And so I did some investigation, and I found out it wasn't the now 66,000 members of the AAP that came up with this. It was a small committee of about a dozen or so people that come up with this, and I have the names in two articles that I wrote, the members of the committee, some of whom have homosexual family members, and they're all liberal, and they came up with the protocol, they vote on it, then it goes to another committee of another dozen or so. So collectively, it's about 55 people came up with and voted for the pro-trans protocol that the AAP endorses, and then it goes out to the public, and the rest of the members of the AAP don't get to vote on it. There's no minority report. In fact, most of them don't even see it until the public sees it.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, and I think it's really important for people to have that information, because if they have to go to their, say, school board and talk about their, sexual integration of locker rooms and restrooms, and inevitably someone will say, well, the AAP endorses this. We need to have the information at the ready to say, actually, no, 55 members of the AAP are all we know about who endorses it and who doesn't. And, of course, those of us who do the work that you and I know, do realize that it's very difficult for the other members to come out and say, no, this is not a protocol we endorse, because they will be vilified and attacked, and people, the trans cult, will try to destroy their reputations and their medical practices.
Absolutely.
Because that's what they do.
Yeah, try to get their medical license
pulled
and everything else. And, you mentioned the schools a little bit ago as far as, they're being in kids are being indoctrinated without any pushback, because if any teacher or any student says or questions what the information that they're getting, they're going to be called, homophobe, transphobe, blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. And
We know in a high school up here, which is now gone all in, it's a high school district, actually, with five high schools in it, and there were some girls who were part of a lawsuit because they didn't want biological boys in their locker rooms when they're undressing, and they didn't want the boys in there undressing either. And these girls were bullied at school. So, the tables have completely turned. the bullies are now the trans cult and their allies, and normal children who don't want to undress in the presence of opposite sex peers who are undressing are now the ones who are bullied.
Yeah. We are living in a world that's it's all topsy-turvy. We're truly good is being called evil and evil is being called good.
Exactly.
And there's no anyone who even casually follows the news as a whole can't deny that this is happening right before our eyes. You mentioned that the author of Middle School's A Drag, You Better Work Harder, W-E-R-K, Work Harder, mm-hmm. is a homosexual.
He's in a pretend marriage. I mean, it is a legal marriage, but I say pretend because marriage has a nature. It is something, mm-hmm. and the law can't change that.
That's true.
So his marriage might be a legal marriage, but it's not a marriage in reality.
Right.
Yes, he's homosexual, and he's married to a man who is a third-grade teacher.
Yeah, I thought that's what you said, a third-grade teacher.
Right. And, wow. and you know, this the man, the homosexual author, his name is Greg Howard. He is also the author of a young adult novel. YA is the term you'll usually see, YA novel, which is recommended for children 14 and up. And this other book is titled Social Intercourse. And if people go to my article online, and the article is titled Ideologically Grooming Kids Through Storytelling, I have a link where you can actually read the whole novel online. But just to let people know what's in it, it's a pornographic story about two 17-year-old boys, one of whom was adopted by two lesbians after his father abused him and his drug-addicted mother. The other boy, his mother left him and his father after she had an affair with the mayor. So the adopted boy, who is the boy who was adopted by the two lesbians, his name is Jax. He's a handsome football star with a girlfriend with whom he regularly has sex. And the other boy, who is being raised by his father alone, his name is Beckett, and he's an out and proud homosexual. So the book concludes with the two boys in a homoerotic relationship with the approval of all parents and most of the high school football team. But that's not all. The story also includes Beckett, that's the homosexual boy, his father having a sexual relationship with one of Jax's lesbian moms. It has a hate-filled, bigoted Christian pastor. He's bigoted against homosexuals, but bigoted in the, not just he thinks homosexuality is a sin. He's like Fred Phelps.
Okay, one of those.
And but he secretly engages in homoerotic acts with his music minister. The book has egregiously obscene language. There's probably nothing that isn't said in there. A description of a teen boy having his anus bleached, and references to masturbation, oral sex, anal sex, and a teen girl's vibrator. This is what people think is appropriate for 14-year-olds.
Yeah,
I mean, leftists do.
Just what I was going to say. So parents cannot trust the publisher's description of a book. They cannot trust the little YA on the binder of the book itself.
Right.
The youth, the young adult. They can't trust the American Library Association because the ALA just wouldn't totally be proud of a book like this and encourage parents to or encourage kids to read it.
Right. Well, the American Library Association, which is so far left, they have a book review publication called Booklist, which says this about it. The language is raunchy, and that is not a criticism of the book. They're not. We would consider it.
Mm-hmm.
The innuendo is frequent. It's not innuendo, by the way. It's quite explicit.
Wow.
And the energy is irrepressible. Hand this debut novel to readers tired of problem novels who are looking for a hilarious romp.
Okay, and that's the American Library Association.
Right, and Publishers Weekly describes it as a funny and satisfying love story. So we now have adults recommending a hilarious pornographic romp for teens that depicts evil as good. And on the basis of these recommendations, school libraries and public libraries are making purchasing decisions with public money. And I did, you know, I'm here in Illinois, so I just spent a not lengthy amount of time, and I found it's in at least two dozen public libraries from Chicago, through central Illinois to southern Illinois. Some of these are conservative communities, mm-hmm. affluent communities, not affluent communities. So now you can't just send your child to a library. You know, if you live close to a library, my kids by 10 years old, they would walk up to our local library and, you know, they would check out some books, but they would sit and read books mm-hmm. in there. You can't trust them to do it. I mean, now they have scores of picture books about homosexuality for toddlers. And now we have them for 10 and up. And then we have the really graphic ones for 14 and up.
So with all these supposed adults, at least they're age-wise they're adults, but to me they're, I'm not sure what word I would use to describe these people who are recommending these books or praising these books, these pornographic books, these books with a definite agenda to brainwash our kids. I mean, these are the adults who are, you know, who are in charge, who right. think they're in charge. And parents go to these, like the American Library Association and the actual, you know, the actual publisher's recommendation or description of the book, but they can't, those can't be, none of those can be trusted. So what is it that parents can do? Do they have to read the books prior to allowing their child to read, you know, check the book out?
Well, if you don't want your child exposed to pornography, then yes, you do have to at least skim them and
right.
skim them pretty thoroughly because realistically no one has time to read everything.
Right, exactly.
I mean, especially if you have a child who's a reader. Two of mine were really readers. Like the oldest one was a voracious reader.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't possibly keep up.
Right.
But even that many years ago, I started because I knew I couldn't do that. And this was before it was as bad as it was now.
Right.
But I wasn't even comfortable with, you know, all this family dysfunction, you know, and I mean, the young adult novels for decades now have been very dark.
Mm.
And what the left will say, there was a really great op-ed or editorial in the Wall Street Journal a few years ago where a woman was saying, why do we have all this dark material in our young adult literature about children being raped and really gross physical abuse and stuff? And you know, the left will say, will these things really happen in real life? And children who have that experience need to see themselves represented, to which I would say, do they? I mean, are we obligated to present every phenomenon that exists in the world to children?
Yeah.
Because what about all the children who are not physically and sexually abused
mm-hmm.
and who are not raped and, you know, all these sort of extreme horrific things that can happen? What if the majority of kids who don't experience that are now introduced to these things in books
yeah.
and are troubled and disturbed by those? Do their feelings and their emotional life not matter because we're going to have only provide literature that redounds to the worst in
yeah.
you know, human society? So what I started doing, and I recommend this for parents, is just saying to your children they're not going to check out any books written after, like, 1970 because the young adult literature written is likely going to be about divorce, dysfunction,
mm-hmm.
abuse, sexuality, because that became the obsessions with the left, who really are sex-obsessed.
Yeah.
You know, they try to say it's conservatives. It's not conservatives. Conservatives are reacting and trying to protect their children
yeah.
from deviant ideas. But that, I mean, you know, on this issue of public schools, I would say get your children out
Absolutely.
Of public schools
yeah.
if you are at all able, because they're only going to get worse. Every state is going to be passing these, you know,
comprehensive sex ed and such as that.
It's comprehensive
yeah.
sex ed, but then it's more than that. You know, we passed here in Illinois, and there's in several other states these LGBT inclusive curriculum
mm-hmm.
kind of bills
mm-hmm.
where it's supposed to be interdisciplinary, cross disciplines, cross curricula, introducing the roles and contributions of homosexuals
yeah.
and
yeah,
trans identified people.
Yeah, New Jersey just passed one too.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to that gets it into at every grade level. So
mm-hmm.
between anti-bullying programs and comprehensive sex ed and these new, you know, what I call school indoctrination mandates, laws,
yeah.
it's going to be at every level from kindergarten on.
Yeah.
And if you think you can keep your kid, that you can undo the damage they're getting in public schools, you can't.
And that's one thing that we many times don't acknowledge is the damage that's done to kids. And we all this has got to play a role in the number of in the increase of sexual assaults, child-on-child sexual assault. It's got to play a role in the increase pregnancies of young girls. I mean, this is all part of what we're reaping as this has been allowed to go on.
Ideas have consequences.
Yes.
I mean, we see that with the rapid onset gender dysphoria.
Yeah.
You know, the girls who have, it's particularly a phenomenon among girls, it's called a social contagion, where they get online and they're having some problems in their life. They've never before experienced gender dysphoria. They've never, when they were little, they never thought, oh, I wish I were a boy, mm-hmm. or I think I'm a boy, or I think I'm born in the wrong body. But they get to puberty, they start having, you know, either just struggling with the transition of puberty,
right.
or maybe they've been molested,
mm-hmm.
or maybe they're bullied, or maybe they have autism. A host of things can create gender dysphoria. And then they get online and they start watching videos of young women talking about transitioning to their male identity,
mm-hmm.
and they conclude that, that's the solution to their problem. That's why they feel the way they do. The point is, when we expose children to ideas and powerful images, the kind you get in storytelling, which is different. Narrative is different from exposition, and it affects us differently.
Yeah.
And so when we expose them to idea, we introduce things that's now in their consciousness, and they will start reinterpreting their life and their experience through these distorted lenses
mm-hmm.
that the culture has provided to them. And you see it with this rapid onset gender dysphoria. Now we have astronomical increase in the number of it used to be gender dysphoria was primarily a problem of boys young, and it started at very, very young ages.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're seeing an explosion of teenage girls identifying as boys. That's because of the ideas and the images they're being exposed to.
Yeah.
And the same thing can happen with literature.
That's true. It's all propaganda is what it is. It's all propaganda, and they're indoctrinating these kids with these distorted ideas. And, this rapid onset gender dysphoria is a perfect example of the consequences of this constant propaganda, the constant lies are being told,
right.
and the manipulation behind
it. And they're not exposed to any dissenting ideas.
Yeah.
They don't, in public schools, where it should be the marketplace of ideas,
mm-hmm.
they're never challenged.
Yeah.
They never present them with any essays or anything from, you know, intelligent people
yeah.
who are challenging these assumptions and asking, so where's the evidence that cross-sex hormones are safe for children?
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, no challenges
there is none.
To it.
Yeah.
And when you have no challenges to controversial ideas that are not factual, what you have is indoctrination.
Yes.
It is propaganda.
Absolutely. Absolutely. How can folks access your articles? Because I know
yeah,
you have
they
lots
can
of great
go to
articles.
IllinoisFamily.org, Illinois, all spelled out, IllinoisFamily.org. And then, you know, I mean, you can search by my name. We have lots of on other topics, too. But if they want to see this article called Ideologically Grooming Kids Through Storytelling, it came out on April 7th. And in there, they can, as I said, click on that link. And I encourage people, read just one page, the first page of the novel, and they'll get an idea of what publishing companies and the American Library Association and public schools think is appropriate for 14-year-olds.
Yeah. Wow. And that's IllinoisFamily.org. Family
mm-hmm.
is singular?
Yep.
Okay, IllinoisFamily.org. Thanks, Laurie, for, you know, again, your great articles and for your insight in this, you know, this attack on our children. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Okay, take care.
Okay, bye, Diane.
Okay, bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.